I want to talk to you today about breakthrough faith. And just this is a word that the Lord just really put on my heart for you guys today. And I'm just super excited to share it. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this school. I thank you, God, because your presence is here. It is fully evident. So, God, I thank you because you're doing a work here. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives are being changed forever. Young people are receiving their calling. God, we just say yes to your will in obedience to you. Do a complete work in us, oh God. Humble us. Let nothing get in the way. We need you, God. We need you to really be Savior, to be Father, to lead and to direct. All glory belongs to you, O God. In your name I pray. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Some of the scribes sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, he said to them, "Well, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, go home." He rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Breakthrough faith. I had to write some things down because it was kind of coming in waves, just some of my thoughts that I really felt belonged to you all and what I want to share to encourage you. Jesus comes home, a place where he lived in Capernaum. Most likely the house where he was staying at was Peter and Andrew's house, two of his disciples, as you know. And it's been a couple of days, maybe about 2-3 days, and through word of mouth, suddenly everybody shows up at the house. That's amazing. Still today, beyond social media, word of mouth is the fastest spreading way to get news out. Everybody shows up to the house. The place is packed, wall to wall, room to room. Scripture says that it was so crowded you couldn't even get through the doorway. There was no way to get in. But breakthrough faith requires no turning back. It's fully packed, it's fully crowded, but there's four men that I really want to highlight for you in these few minutes. Four men that were standing with a paralytic. A paralytic, someone whose nervous system has shut down, diseased, and he's lost complete control of his muscles. Unable to walk, laid out on this bed, mat, cot, for lack of words, something that he was always restricted to. And for him to ever make any moves to go anywhere, he always had to rely on somebody else so that he could go forward. But there's four men that I want to highlight. Four men with a paralytic arrive. They've arrived late, but they're helping someone else less fortunate, someone who's not able to get to Jesus unless he's carried to him. They can't get in. If only they had arrived earlier. But their time of arrival demonstrates that they were moving at a pace that best served the paralytic. serving with patience. They show up, the place is crowded. There's four guys on each corner of this mat, bed, grabbing a corner, carrying him. They show up to the front, they can't get in. They try to get around the backside to the windows, maybe, they can't get in. I often thought, when I used to read this, why in the world did they just ask somebody to just make some room and let them in? Well, then I just began to assume maybe they did. Maybe they did walk up to the back of people and tap them on the shoulder. Hey, could you just make some room? But nobody moved. Nobody made room. Nobody except for four men were concerned with a guy who was unable to move forward. There was four men that chose to approach Jesus with somebody who couldn't do it on their own. There's a lot of people that will gather at times. The crowd will look impressive. But not everybody has the heart of God. Sometimes the movement looks good. But the people are not moved by what God wants them to do. Sometimes you can get to a place and you feel like you just got there late. You feel like everything is going forward without you. But maybe that time that you thought was you running late is a time for you to stretch your faith. There are paralytics that can't move on their own. And every time I come here, I'm reminded of a group of young people whose hearts are growing for the heart of God, stirred as you read scripture, as you pray, as you worship. That in my hope, when you go home, that you would never just go and simply find a seat in the crowd. But will there be four people that come out of Summit that will attend to the paralytic? Attend to the one that's marginalized? Is there four that will come out of Summit? And maybe they'll run a little late. Maybe it'll seem like they're not ahead of the game. Maybe it'll look as if, I thought you'd be well advanced in ministry by now. I thought you'd maybe be front and center with Jesus inside, right in the main room. But maybe four will be a bit occupied, walking in faith, standing with those that can't move forward on their own. They could have easily at that point with the paralytic just decide to go another day, try later, go back home. It's too difficult. But there's clearly a sense of urgency to get this man to Jesus, that he might experience a miracle. They wouldn't turn away because of their faith in Christ. Sometimes the delay in our timing is God's appointed time for us to exercise a greater measure of faith. Religious people want to find a comfortable seat, but radical believers in faith welcome the challenges of discomfort for the benefit of others. I'll say that again. Religious people want to find a comfortable seat, but radical believers in faith welcome the challenges of discomfort for the benefit of others. Are you passionate about moving the paralyzed into a position to receive a healing from Jesus? You may just want to sit in service and do nothing, but God has called you to be of service and do something. Sometimes the crowd that gathers to worship Jesus, they don't have a heart to serve, a heart to live for the benefit of others, a heart to do the dirty work. I think about this crowd that was just sitting there listening to the word, and a good word, a word probably Jesus talking about the Father, talking about the kingdom of God, I'm sure. And everybody not moving. But I also think about just this amazing picture of four men putting the word into action. Four men that said, we're not going home today. There was this urgency, this passion to say, no, Jesus is in the house. And if Jesus is in the house, there's a miracle waiting for you. There's healing waiting for you. There's life waiting for you. And here's four men believing in faith for somebody else. So we're not going home today. Not only were they passionate for the paralytic, but there was a sense of urgency that it has to happen now. There has to be a breakthrough now for you. So we're going up the back way, up the stairs. I can imagine the paralytic moved by their faith, but yet still struggling to understand what is really happening here and what stirs their hearts so much to keep going. Hey, guys, I mean, he can't even control his muscles. I don't know how much he weighed. He's laying on this mat. Guys, forget about it, man. You know, like, just forget about it, man. You guys just go in and find your own seat, man. I'm sure you guys could squeeze through. I mean, gosh, you guys got so much faith, man. I'm sure he could use you in a great way. Just leave me behind. No, we're not leaving you behind, bro. We're standing with you because the faith that we have in Jesus Christ is the faith that we want you to have right now. We want our faith to infect you. So we're standing with you. Come on, we're going up the stairs. Dude, come on, man. Why are we going up the stairs? That's such an awkward climb. You might drop me. Man, I weigh too much, man. I'm just such a burden. Leave me alone. No, let me tell you, my brother, we're going to carry your burden for you. Yeah, things about to look really unorthodox right now. But when you have radical faith in Jesus, you're not going to follow in the patterns that everybody else follows. And so they go up the stairs. There's no turning back. Breakthrough faith means that there's no turning back. If anything, write that down. No more delays. No more hesitation. No quit. Don't stand in the back of the crowd saying, man, I missed my purpose. No. Take a look around and you'll see some people that are paralyzed in fear, paralyzed in addiction, paralyzed and lost in this world. And it's time for four people to grab four corners and let's get up the stairs and let's do what some people would say is an absolute impossible situation. But my faith in Jesus, this is going to be possible right now. You with me? Say amen. And so here they are. Four guys. I mean, this isn't easy. Couple of steps. Could you imagine four guys going up all the way the stairs? And it wasn't, you know, the roof was low, to be very honest with you. So that's not really the issue. Getting up was not really a problem. But then coming to the top could probably create a little bit of a ruckus. It's going to create a mess. But sometimes a breakthrough situation could look a little messy in the eyes of man. And so they bring the paralytic to the top. And scripture says that they broke through the roof. I call it faith through the roof. Break through faith. No turning back and faith through the roof. Now, a roof fairly low, but yet there was some stuff that you gotta have to break through with the roof. There's oftentimes grass at that point. Where it's kind of, these homes would be built into the hill. So actually, sheep would actually be up there. And then not only just the grass, but sometimes there's like a mixture of mortar, clay, ash, all together. And Luke's, in the Gospel of Luke, his account of the story, he says that they had to break through tile. Which means this was a little bit more of a detailed, elaborate rooftop that Peter and Andrew had put together. And so not only did they have to break through the grass and the dirt and the ash and the mortar, but they had to break through the tile that was also assembled. Now you got to picture these guys here on the roof. You can imagine the paralytic. Whoa, what are you doing, man? Guys, what are you doing? And they're just digging away. I'm just scrapping through and breaking through. And they're like, you're going to go see Jesus. That's what you're going to do. This is what we're doing. You're going to go see Jesus. I'm telling you, just hold on. Man, I don't know, man. Dude, have you heard about that guy, Peter, man? You're breaking through his roof, man. Dude, he'll cut you, bro. Man, don't mess with those guys. Look, man, I'm not worried about what people are going to think about me. I'm worried about you having a life change with Jesus. I'm not worried about what they're going to think about me. I'm not worried about how people are going to respond to my radical faith, because if it's for the benefit of others and who I stand for in Jesus Christ, the end result is going to be a miracle. And that's my motivation, that lives will be changed, that Jesus Christ will be glorified. I'll dig right on through it. We'll press through, and you're going to have to break through the rooftops of fear, break through the rooftops of embarrassment, break through the rooftops of doubt. And it's going to be an awkward situation, because there's this big crowd that looks like they're doing it the right way, and they look comfortable, and they look like they shouldn't be disturbed, and we should just follow into the format of everybody else. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus came as one of the most radical people on earth. He was a true rebel in the sense he broke every format that was in operation. And I want to look just like Jesus. Here's the crowd, right, you guys? They're like all like so attentive to Jesus. And all of a sudden something just drops in your eye. And then another piece drops in your mouth. What in the world? Oh my gosh, dude. Whoa. And could you imagine Jesus like taking a slight pause like, oh wow, this is going to be awesome. You know, because he's like all knowing, so he just steps back because he knows this is about to get wild. So just steps, he like changes his position a little bit. And could you imagine Peter must have been just losing his mind. Someone's breaking through the roof. I'm getting my knife. I'm going up there the back way. Come on. Somebody breaking through the roof. I got him, Jesus. Hold on, buddy. Hold on. And all of a sudden, just tile starts falling out, dirt. Stuff just falling out of the ceiling. It just becomes one big mess. You can imagine the people starting to talk and just like, what's going on? What in the world? Meanwhile, you got these four guys in faith going, all right, bro, we're going to start letting you down, man. We're letting you down. I know, dude, this is so embarrassing, man. You guys, this is so embarrassing. No, let me tell you something. Do this, all right? As we let you down right now, keep your eyes on Jesus. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to call you out. They're going to say that you're ruining everything. They're going to say that you're disrupting the flow. They're going to say that everything about this whole moment is wrong. Bro, I'm just telling you right now, what I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you a healing is coming. Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at anybody else. Ignore them. Ignore them. Hey, Jesus. Love you, man. You do something for this guy. We've been putting in some work out here. Oh, thank you, God, man. All right. He's going down. And before you know it, here is a paralytic that's been marginalized on the outskirts, is front and center with Jesus. But I'd like to believe that there's four men that are rejoicing in the fact that the paralytic is front and center with Jesus. You and I, we're still on the rooftop, still dirt in our hands, clay and tile all over us and dust. We look like a mess. No glory for us, but all the glory of God when this young man is going to be touched by God. That gets me excited. The four men, they didn't even make it into the room. They didn't even get a chance to take the best notes, write notes, and get the good word in. They didn't even get a chance to get to Summit and be in the Bible school. But they were out there working. You with me? Say amen. Oh, God. Breakthrough faith. No turning back. Breakthrough faith is faith through the roof. The opportunity to receive a miracle look nearly impossible. But faith believes that all things are possible through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. It would take complete faith in Jesus to give them the strength to go up the stairs and to tear open the roof. Tearing up the roof It's radical faith. It might be offensive to man. I said this earlier. But it's going to stir the heart of God. Turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Or may I kind of flip that for a second real quick? If a brother or sister is paralyzed in fear, paralyzed by depression, paralyzed by wickedness, darkness, do we walk up on them and just say, hey, God bless you, and I'll see you around, without choosing to stand beside them, share the gospel with them, invite them to the house of God, take them out for a cup of coffee, take them out to get a bagel, whatever you got? But are we willing to stand and serve those that are lost? Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. Don't get comfortable inside when there's a great work to do outside. And scripture tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if any of us would come after God, we have to believe that, one, he exists. Two, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But you ever thought that the reward is simply a life changed because of your faith in Jesus Christ and not necessarily a reward for you personally? When I looked at that verse in parallel with this story of the paralytic, I realized the reward should never be about me. I shouldn't grow in my faith in Jesus Christ in the hope of gaining my own reward. I want to see others rewarded through my faith. I want to see the lost and the hurt rewarded with the presence and the power of God transforming lives. I'm going to wrap up here. Man, I could talk about this all day. And of course, we could look at quite a few things with what happened with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and religious folk that were in there. I mean, that really just accelerates the atmosphere when the paralytic came down. The fact that it was just a bunch of religious people. And they began to just go off like, man, that's blasphemy. Is he crazy? I mean, who gave him the right to think that he's God and could forgive sins? And Jesus was just there and he just thought this. He was like, man, I can see exactly what they're thinking right now. And he just calls them out. Like, what is it? Is it easier for me to forgive sins or to heal them? You know, and strangely enough, these guys would have answered the question verbally by saying, yeah, it's easy for you to say he can forgive sins because you really can't prove that you're God. And so God doesn't give them room to answer. Jesus just responds immediately and says, you know what? Never mind. You know what? Actually, it's all one package deal with me. I can forgive his sins and I can bring healing. It all comes together. The forgiveness of sins that I offer brings healing in your life. So, matter of fact, while y'all still pondering all of that, hey, son, and I call you son because we are the children of God. Son, man, get up, pick up. Your sins are forgiven. You know, get up, rise up, pick up your bed, and walk out of here. And breakthrough faith will create an opportunity for others to walk it out. Breakthrough faith, no turning back, faith through the roof, and walk it out. Here's what I mean by that. Here were four men that believed in faith. A testimony of believing and knowing that Jesus has the power to touch and save and bring healing. And so here they come. And in faith, they get to the roof. And in faith, they break through the roof. And in faith in Jesus Christ, a life is changed. Faith through the roof. And now Jesus looks at them and says, man, that faith is impressive. Now, hey, paralytic, pick up your bed and get up on out of here. And the conclusion of the story is this, is that here is a young man who was always in the background, now walks out through the front door. Here he is, center stage with Jesus Christ, and he gets a touch from God. And it all began with four that chose to walk in faith in Jesus Christ. And now he's walking it out. Walking what out? Walking his bed out. That's the it in walking it out. The bed represented a place where he was not able to go any farther than where he would lie. But now the bed is rolled up under his arm and he's walking out in the authority and power of Jesus Christ. Somebody is going to walk in faith so that somebody else can walk it out. And scripture says we walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Which means initially we can make it all the way up to the stairs and the rooftop might look like an impossible situation. And I said it earlier, the rooftop also represents embarrassment, fear, the doubt of wondering whether I'll get him to the right place or not. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And if I do that, if I walk by faith, somebody else is going to walk it out in their healing. You get what I'm saying? But we've got to walk in faith in Jesus Christ so that somebody else can walk it out in the power of Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in someone's life. But if we never get them to the rooftop and break through, he'll never be walking out. And that's you and I choosing to put in work. Trusting and believing in Jesus Christ. If you and I are saved, if you and I believe in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, then I believe that all that I do in faith really represents the victory that was won for me and the victory that was won for others. And every bit of my life is to walk in faith so that somebody else can walk it out. It's not my reward, but I'm looking forward to seeing some other people gain a reward. This is the reason why I come out here. This is the reason why your pastor serves. This is the reason why your teachers and professors choose to be on this campus for much of their life. Because their faith in Jesus Christ gives them joy to see others walk out in their healing and in the power of God and in victory in Jesus Christ. This is why they sacrifice. This is why they're in the classroom. This is why they're saying to you, please study hard. Please take down these notes. Because they believe in you before you've even believed in yourself. And now will you be those? Will you be four? Is there four? Oh, the ending is really great. Because if you walk in faith, somebody else is going to walk out in their healing. And if that person walks out in their healing, then the rest of the crowd is going to finish off in worship. You get what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but I'm almost done. Look, go back to Mark chapter 2. Look what happened at the end. Verse 12. He rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them so that they were all amazed and what? Glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Scripture says that they gave God the glory. Scripture says that they worshiped him. I believe that in that moment, when that young man walked out, there was a breakout in worship. It was the opposite type of service that we normally run. We normally do worship and then the word. But in this case, with this particular gathering, it went from the word that Jesus gave and out from the word, then they broke into worship. The word came alive. And the word came alive through the faith of four that decided to walk in faith in Jesus Christ. And the house went from just a dead house, just listening, to an active house, responding to the word of Jesus, worshiping God. Praise God. But it starts with four. Four that are on the outskirts. Four that say, all glory belongs to Jesus Christ. My faith is in him. My life is for him. My life is to serve others. Now, I really believe, man, that place just erupted and they got to jumping and getting excited. I believe it was a breakout session in the house and worship was going on as they watched this guy walk on out. And you know what I'd like to believe? I'd like to believe that the crowd was just, it was, the crowd didn't move. Scripture says it didn't say crowd opened up. He was able to walk out. But there's still four guys that have to come down from the roof. The whole story began with the four in faith. And they weren't about to jump through. Scripture didn't say that. They jumped through. Oh, we're about to get up in this party too. No, they didn't. They had to go back down the stairs to the back end again where there was still a crowd. Matter of fact, they never even got the chance to join the party. But that's okay because my faith is in Jesus and I don't need to be in the forefront. I don't need to be in the limelight. I don't need to be in the spotlight. Yeah, they're getting their worship on in there. Yeah, it had a lot to do with me, man. Wait, can I get in now? Nobody even remembers you because you were up on the roof serving for the King of Kings. And the only person that you do greet, the only person that actually faces you, everybody else is still facing Jesus, celebrating Jesus. The crowd is still pouring out. Their backs are still towards you. The only person that comes out to greet you is who? The paralytic who's healed. He walked out. I can only imagine that the five of them had their own little party, like jumping up and down. No more shackles, no more chains, I guess. Like just jumping up and down to their own beat, their own excitement, their own love and passion for Jesus. Oh my goodness. Do you see it? Four. Walking in the faith of Jesus Christ and said, I didn't even get a chance to get into the party right there. But it all belongs to Jesus anyway. It all belongs to him. The glory, the praise, the honor. Who am I that you are mindful of me, oh God? I'm just going to go find another paralytic and get him back up to the roof. I just want to get my hands dirty. I just want to work because you set me free. You gave me victory and you did it for this paralytic. I don't need the microphone. I don't need to get up and share testimony. Now, some of us, man, we'll tend to think once we get out of Bible school, man, I'm going to be front center for the glory of Jesus Christ with a microphone. I'm going to be a teacher, a professor. I'm going to be a pastor. I got all these plans. But who is going to walk in faith and go get the paralytics? Is there four? Is there four? It's breakthrough faith. Is there four that are willing to just forego the attractions, the status, the opportunities, position? Are you willing to take a position in the background and reach the paralytic? You stand up with me. I just want to pray. I want to invite you to come up and pray. I hope that just listening, maybe writing notes, maybe looking through scripture as we have it, maybe there's just some things in your personal life, this hope to get somewhere, to arrive, would finally, you know, just come to an end. That there would be this deep longing to die to self. To recognize, as Paul said, that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives inside of me. And I'll go wherever you want me to go, God. And I'll lay down my expectations. And Lord, I receive the fact that maybe you're going to take me to a place where I'm going to be very uncomfortable. But in that position, my faith will grow. And I will live for the benefit of others. If you just want to come down here and pray and just get before the Lord, maybe these steps today represent your decision to say, I'll go up the back way for those that I know that are paralyzed. Maybe some of you have brothers or sisters or moms or dads that they're like the paralytic and they need your help. Let's not forget them. Maybe you have friends at home that are like the paralytic, and we're going to have to grab the four corners of their bed of addiction, their bed of sin, and set them free and walk alongside of them in Christ Jesus. Let's worship. Let your prayer simply be this. God, I want to be one of the four. I want to be one of the four. God, give me breakthrough faith. Give me breakthrough faith. Thank you, God. We surrender to you, Lord Jesus. We surrender, Lord God. Lord, your word tells us, you said, God, that if we have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, we could say to the mountain, move from here to there, and nothing would be impossible. God, we're asking right now that you would give us faith to believe for others. Give us faith, Lord God, to stand for righteousness. Give us faith, Lord God, to be a voice in a dying world. Give us faith, Lord Jesus, to step out to help others, Lord God, that are less fortunate. And we may be tired ourselves. It might feel like it's too difficult to get up the stairs. It's too difficult to break through my own doubts and my own feelings. We might say, God, what about my prayer requests? What about my breakthrough? But Lord, you've called us to walk in faith for others. And God, the very victory that you'll give to others, you'll give us that victory too. Lord Jesus, we don't want to touch your glory, God. So humble us. God, remove pride. Remove the pride in our lives. That still, in some way, we will say it with all glory to you, but there's still this thing in us that we just still want people to give us attention. We still want to be noticed. Forgive us, God. Forgive us of our selfishness. I thank you, Jesus, for every student that's here. I thank you, Lord God, for the work that you're doing in their lives. I thank you for the faith that's coming alive in their hearts as they continue to study the word, as they continue to meditate on you, as they continue to worship you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the men and women that are going to be sent out, the men and women that are going to step forward and grab hold of the bed the paralyzed, grab hold of the bed, the crippled, the weak, the brokenhearted, the hopeless. I thank you for this generation that's going to lead them on. The witness of the gospel that's going to go forth. We say yes to your will. May our heart break for what breaks your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name.
go ahead and stand with me? I'm going to close in prayer. But I did want to say, David, that every time I hear a message like that, it just makes me want to be more like Jesus. It just makes me hungry to be more.